for listening to the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast, available every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom and widnesrugby.com.
On this week's show, we catch up with Tim Sheens and Matty Smith following the win over Whitehaven, and I sit down with Warrington Guardians' Matt Turner to discuss the dual registration partnership. Hello and welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 42. Quite a varied show this week. Thanks as always to sponsors Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management and Deal the Jewellers. So Widnes won, had a hard fought win over Whitehaven at the weekend. The scoreline flattered Widnes a little bit. Three tries in the last 10 minutes. I thought Whitehaven give it a really good dig. We'll hear from Tim Sheens and Matty Smith and what they had to say after the game. In the press conference with Tim Sheens, had some very interesting discussions about how things are going. Obviously, we saw Joe Lyons playing at fullback at the weekend with Jack Owens moving into the halves, and it appears that Sheens sees Joe Lyons as a fullback long term. So we'll no doubt see a bit more of him, especially in the absence of Danny Craven. Also asked a little bit about where we stand in with recruitment. There's no real movement on that. Keen, I don't think it's any secret that Widnes are obviously keen to bring in a prop or two. There has been some names mentioned elsewhere, but certainly Tim Sheens, when he was asked in the press conference, he didn't have anything to report back. Clearly finding players is a very difficult task. There is space on the cap to bring a player in. But, I mean, Super League teams are having to pull in amateurs to play in their reserve teams now. So that gives you a bit of an indication of the struggles that clubs find themselves in. With that in mind, the dual registration with Warrington may come in handy. But then, having said that, well, there was no players available to Widnes last week due to Warrington having them all tied up in reserves and academy games, which, of course, were both against Widnes last week. So I took the opportunity to sit down with Matt Turner, a colleague of mine. He is a reporter for the Warrington Guardian, and I had a bit of a conversation with him about how Warrington stand on the dual registration and if it is really working for both clubs. We also have a chat through about some of the players that could be available to Widnes. So Matt, obviously Warrington Guardian reporter and Warrington Wolves sort of expert.
In theory.
Obviously there's a lot of questions about whether the dual registration format works. How different is it for Warrington this season, being with Widnes rather than Rochdale? With all due respect to Rochdale, obviously putting teams in the Widnes team is a far more competitive team.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? I mean, I think 2-3 years ago, if you'd asked most Widnes and Warrington fans, you know, you'd want to be a dual registration partnership, there'd be a bit of outcry on both sides, really, wouldn't there? But
I still think there is some of that.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know,
certainly from a Widnes point of view.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's a bit of a, I believe, a slightly negative reaction towards Deck Patton the other week. But, you know, it is what it is, isn't it? And I think they're trying to come up with something that's mutually beneficial for both parties. And, you know, it's going to have its teething problems like any new partnership. But, you know, it could have the potential to be beneficial.
Do we feel like Warrington have got players that are suitable to go into sort of a top-end championship team and do well? Because, you know, like you say, they've been with Rochdale and Swinton and teams like that where, you know, they've sort of not really made much, they've just had given somewhere to play, basically. Whereas I suppose the difference with partnering with Widnes is Widnes fans, more so than anything else, are expecting a Warrington player to come in and actually perform pretty well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you say, with the greatest respect to Rochdale, it was a bit of a minute maker, wasn't it? Just you go in there to get miles in the tank, but you know, you want to send players who are going to go into a team that are going to be competitive at the top end of the table. And, you know, from a Warrington perspective, you know, you're much better sending, you know, young players who you think's got the potential to make it into a team that's winning games and has the potential to be scoring lots of points and things like that, and is going to be competing at the right end, because that's going to be beneficial for their development, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've seen a handful of players so far. So obviously you mentioned Depp Patton, who's been over. It's very hard for halfbacks, though, isn't it, to get into a team, because, you know, halfbacks have got to have that authority to sort of command a team around a pitch, and they've got to know who the player, who they're working with, what the combinations are. And I suppose it's hard for someone like Patton to come in having trained two nights a week with Widnes to then go in and make a massive difference.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, I think, you know, if you're looking at dual registration positions, then halfback is probably the hardest one to come in and make an impact. And then obviously you've got fullback as well. I was going to suggest maybe Josh Thielis might be a candidate and someone that could do well in Widnes' team. But there's number one, Jack Owens has pretty got that. Yeah. Pretty much, he plays at fullback if he's fit. And number two, it's a difficult position to come in because it's a very important one in the modern game in terms of attack and defence. But you know the likes of Ellis Robson have gone down there. I know Widnes think very, very highly of him, and Warrington do so as well.
Do you think Robson will make it in Super League?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? But he seems to follow the mould of Warrington forwards at the minute in that he's very, very industrious and very hard working and does the basics very, very well. But he's not the biggest. Yeah. He's in the Matty Davis mould, isn't he? You know, and Steve Price does like them kind of players. He likes them working hard and likes them doing the basics well and doing the nitty gritty. But you do wonder about his size. But he's still young.
I mean,
so.
When you look at when you're coming up against St. Helens and the size of their pack, you know, it's very difficult. Yeah. I mean, Tim Sheen says that they'd basically have Ellis Robson back tomorrow. Mm. You know, anytime. So I'd imagine he's probably going to be one that features more regularly than not. And I suppose Widnes need forwards, really. They're short on props. We've seen Latu, who I didn't think did terribly, but both Price and Sheens have both said Price said to you and Sheens have said to me that his fitness is just not where it needs to be.
It's a really mystifying case, that Lallana Latu. It really is. And you know, you bring a guy over who was meant to be the missing piece. You know, it's an open secret that Warrington have been trying to sign a prop for most of the off-season. Were they looking to sign one that immediately gets sent out to Widnes to build fitness? Probably not. But you know, I think Latu is an instance where dual registration will should help him in theory, because he can get competitive minutes and that's what he clearly needs.
Is there a bit of pressure on the Warrington players that come over to play dual reg? Because we saw Jake Mamo played against Dewsbury. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but he had a bit of a chance where it was a bit of a 50-50 sort of chance. You either back yourself or you pass inside. And he backed himself, got sort of tackled into touch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you feel like, because of the environment at Warrington where there's so much pressure on trophies and being champions and whatever, that when you've got a player like Mamo, he's looking and thinking, well, hang on, I've got to go to Widnes and be an absolute standout performer to get me place back.
Yeah, I mean, there is that element there. I think I did see that with Mamo. I think that there might have been a bit of a something that happened in Warrington's game against Wakefield in the back of his mind, where he made a similar break from playing in the centre position. And it was another case of backing yourself to go around the fullback, which is, I think, Max Jowett, who you probably back him against for pace, or pass inside to Gareth Widdop. And he chose to pass inside and he messed up the pass and he ended up...
So he's a bit like, you know, he's got a confidence issue there.
He has got a confidence issue there. But I think there's a mentality issue as well, isn't there? You know, if you get someone like Jake Mamo, who played regularly in the Super League last year, and to an extent, Dec Patton as well, who played...
Well, I think he played 30 games.
He played
30-odd
games, Challenge Cup final winner, very good performing in that Challenge Cup final winning team. And now, all of a sudden, you're being found out on dual registration. It's something to pick yourself up from mentally,
isn't it? I suppose it's different for Patton and Mamo in comparison to, say, Robson, because Robson's still got his career ahead of him.
Yeah,
whereas Patton and Mamo are both sort of at that stage of the career where they should be playing Super League week in, week out.
Well, you could take it another way. If you were Patton, and you know, the wide understanding is that Patton's available to be moved on from Warrington, it's a chance there to put yourself in the shot window. You've got more of a shot window playing for Widnes than you have playing for the reserves.
I mean, it has to be a concern for someone like I don't know what Widnes fans think, but I wouldn't take Patton in the Widnes team ahead of what Widnes have got at halfback. Well, you know, if everyone's fit. And obviously, for Warrington to be in a situation, I mean, I know obviously salary cap and all that sort of stuff, but it's weird that you have that situation where Warrington have got players that are sort of kicking around, taking up space on their cap, that actually, if Widnes were looking for players, they probably wouldn't take him.
No, they probably wouldn't, would they? I mean, like you say, does Patton get in ahead of Danny Craven and Matty Smith when they're both fit? Probably.
I don't think they would.
But, you know, I think it will be, like you say, more beneficial for the younger guys, like your likes of Ellis Robson, perhaps Sammy Kabula as well.
Yeah, I mean, Kabula's one that's being mentioned because obviously he's lost a lot of weight since being Wigan, and it would be good. He's the sort of player Widnes needs, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And I think his performances for the reserves have been very impressive in the two games that they've played.
You mentioned the reserves because I believe that was one of the reasons why Widnes didn't have any dual reds last week, was because Warrington was struggling to put a team out for the reserves.
They were.
Which just to explain to people, is because the academy and the reserves are now playing, the academy's just started up, so they're both playing at the same weekend. So whereas maybe you would have had under-18s playing up, you've now not got that ability, which then means you've got to draw them down from the seniors.
Yeah, well, they had a double header, didn't they, against Widnes? So I think a lot of the academy players that will have played against Widnes in the academy game probably would have filled the reserves out. Yeah. But they had to go to the amateur clubs. I mean, they had Luke Walker, Danny Walker's brother, who's a regular for Crossfields on the amateur scene in Warrington. He played, he scored a try, I believe, as well. So they were struggling to fill out the reserves. So that's probably why there were no Warrington players in the Widnes team.
Yeah, but I mean, Sheens did say that. He said it, like, literally just didn't have any offered. And obviously we've got Cup this week, so there'll be no players coming down this week because obviously they don't want to get them Cup tied. No. What about Lewis Johnson? What, I mean, I know he's played a bit of Super League this season, which is more than he has managed.
Do you know what? I think Lewis Johnson's another weird one because he came as a very highly regarded young second rower. I think he'd just come off the back of a Man of the Series performance for the England Academy team, and Warrington parted with a fair sum of money, just under 50 grand taken from Castleford on a 4-year contract. It's a lot of faith to put in a young lad, and as I say, he came as a highly regarded second row, but Steve Price seems to think he has a future down the middle in the front row. He needs to put on a lot of size for that to happen.
He's very narrow, isn't he?
He's very, very narrow. He's very tall, and he's very rangy.
He has played for Widnes obviously Widnes were struggling last season and they were desperate for bodies. But he only played the one game, I think it was, at Rochdale. And he certainly didn't look... And it was difficult for players like him last season without the reserves because they didn't have a vehicle to get fit. And I suppose in some ways it's like, on paper you want a prop like Johnson, but the reality of Johnson is he what Widnes maybe need at the moment? I'm not sure he is.
No, I think from what you say, I think they need a prop with a bit more size and a bit more grunt. And
if you had Latu, who's fit...
A fit Latu, 100%. Going,
but then I suppose you'd say that, well, if Latu was fit, would he be playing for Warrington ultimately? Because, you know, well, if you look at Warrington's bench last week, they had Johnson on there, didn't they? It was Davis on there, Burrell, who's next to useless. I mean, do you think Burrell as well? Do you think it's more of a pride issue with Burrell that they don't want to farm him out on loan because it's like he almost sees it as beneath him? I can't remember whether it was yours with in one of the pre-season like media days where he was almost like, I think someone asked, would you get up to speed in reserves, and he was like, I'm not playing reserves, sort of thing.
Well, I think speaking to Carl Fitzpatrick at Warrington, I think the return of the reserve grade, he highlighted Burrell as someone who would benefit from it because, you know, he's still learning the game despite all his experience in rugby union. He's still learning the game of rugby league, and he will make mistakes. And to make those mistakes in reserves, away from the Sky cameras, away from the big crowds, is you're better off making the mistakes there. Yeah, I mean, you can see when he plays. You know, he shows up defensively, but positionally sometimes he's a little bit suspect, especially when you're out on the edges. He can be a little bit suspect positionally, but you know, he's someone that could benefit as well. But I think coming back early to what we said, I wouldn't be surprised if Sammy Kabula turned up at Widnes in the next few weeks or so.
And then the final two are obviously the ex-Widnes lads. So obviously Keenan Brand, who's played a couple in Super League now, partly because Gellin wasn't there. So I suppose Brand will go a bit out of favour again now. But Danny Walker as well. Because, I mean, Widnes are playing Tompkins. He played 72 minutes on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you'd sort of think, you know,
they need a bit of depth.
Almost like Danny Walker would almost be a common sense sort of signing.
I think Danny Walker's stock's risen at Warrington now this season. He's been very, very solid this year. Before last weekend's game against Castleford, he was getting 10 minutes odd off the bench, but he certainly did himself no harm. He was called up to start against Castleford last week, and you know, because Darrell Clark was well fit enough for the bench, wasn't fit enough to start. That's something I'm not too sure about, but that's by the by. but he did himself no harm. He showed up in defence, you know, for someone as...
He sort of seems quite determined to
He's
make
very dogged, he's very determined.
He wants to make a success of it, doesn't he?
He wants to be...
Because I think he appreciates that, you know, the flaws in his game, and I think you can see that he's so determined to make sure that that doesn't get in the way of him, you know, establishing himself at Warrington.
I think he's come on so much this year, Danny Walker. I mean, sort of this time last year, Warrington were playing away at Wakefield and they were comfortably ahead. I think they were 30-odd, 10 ahead going into the last 20 minutes, and Darrell Clark was taken off with the game won, and Danny Walker was put on, and you know, you had the likes of Dave Fafita and Paulie Paulie, who were just piling through his channel, and they were getting on top of him, as they will do, you know, twice, three times his size. But he's done a lot of work on it this year.
So do you think that's less likely to happen now?
I think that's less likely. I think Keenan Brand is an interesting one. I know he is, again, he's another player that Steve Price rates very, very highly. Is he Super League ready at the minute? He's shown glimpses, but I think he'd be better in a team that is flowing and has confidence and is giving the ball some air.
I think part of the issue the thing with the dual reg thing is that obviously for the Super League club, they want to get young players experience.
Yeah.
So Keenan Brand being a good example, but from a Widnes point of view, you look at it and think, well, what's the point in Widnes playing Keenan Brand rather than playing, say, Joe Edge, who obviously is one of Widnes' players? You know, and it's finding that balance, isn't it? Because in an ideal world, what Widnes want an experienced player who isn't getting a game at Warrington. Yeah. You know, a bit like, well, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it is very hard to find who's that perfect player. Like Kabula, to me, would tick those boxes at the moment. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, how do you feel Warrington trying to get out of it, do you think?
Well, I think they're trying to get something similar. I mean, they're trying to strike the balance of getting some minutes into their younger players in a competitive environment, and also, you know, the more experienced players that clearly do need those minutes and match time, because they're not going to get it in the first team at the minute. But it's a difficult balance to strike, isn't it? And it can change on a weekly basis.
Is there anyone else that we haven't mentioned that you think might come over at some point?
I think you may
Gareth Widdett.
Gareth Widdett, maybe, yeah. You may see Matt Davis on occasion.
And you describe him as similar to Robson.
Similar to Robson, very, very industrious. Tackles much higher than his weight. He's, you know, I really do like Matt Davis. He does impress me every time he comes on. He won't make that line break or anything like that. But he'll give his all for the team, and say he's very, very hard working. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him perhaps. Josh Thewlis, perhaps.
What about Doro's obviously in the Warrington squad
Aribi
this Doro, week? Do you think he might?
Aribi Doro's had a bit of a renaissance at Warrington, I'd say. I mean, he was very highly rated in the academy, but was not even given a squad number at the start of this year. But
and what would you? How would you describe him? As a
very physical, I'd say, a slightly smaller version of Sami Kabula. Mm. I guess you can't get much bigger than Kabula, but you know he's. He gets through a lot of work. He does. I think he played 60 odd minutes for the reserves the other week. He does get through a lot of work. Gets through a lot of carries and a lot of tackles as well. So I think he could possibly be a candidate. Say Josh Thewlis, Riley Dean, perhaps as well. If you're short of a halfback, he's someone I quite like to see. You know,
I mean, if you compare Riley Dean to say Patton, so obviously Widnes is shuffling about a bit. Obviously Craven's out for a while. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the difference between Riley Dean and Patton is, as much as you can see that Patton's a more established player, Riley Dean's a bit more hungry for that experience and for maybe proving himself a bit more.
He is, and he's had a taste of it. You know, he came in and made his first team debut against St Helens last year, and at 17 years old, I don't think he disgraced himself at all. He played alongside Matty Smith in that game, interestingly, and I think if he had a couple of games, you know, alongside someone as experienced as him, in that competitive environment away from the club, then, you know, he could be all the better for it.
Thanks, Matt.
No worries.
Hopefully you found that chat interesting on dual registration. I'm sure there's a bit of a mix of opinion on it. Some people are quite happy to have Warrington as a dual registration partner, you know, for the extra bodies it creates, but then there are others that are understandably cautious given the nature of rugby league and the fact you don't want to be a feeder club, especially to Warrington as well. So we'll see how that unfolds in the coming weeks. The next game is, of course, at home to Swinton on Sunday in the Challenge Cup. There'll be no dual registration players available for that one either. So it will be the Sheffield away game in the league when we're next likely to see any Warrington players turn out. I know Tim Sheens is keen on Ellis Robson, most definitely. So we'll see how that one pans out. So it was a tough game against Whitehaven. I was slightly disappointed. The crowd was sub 3,000. I think the fixtures probably haven't been kind to Widnes. We've had a couple of, with all due respect, we've played quite a few of the bottom teams, where you sort of on a hide into nothing, because if you win, people expect it. If you win and struggle. People are critical, and obviously then if you get beat, it's a disaster. And the only real game we've had of any note was the London Broncos one, and of course Widnes were beaten pretty heavily in that one. So we could probably do with a pick up in form and then maybe a couple of games against the likes of Halifax or whatever, where it's going to be a tight game. So we'll see how that pans out. But anyway, John Lawless and Adrian Jackson caught up with Tim Sheens and Matty Smith following the Whitehaven game. Here's what they had to say.
Tim, it looks a comfortable enough win on the scoreboard, but that doesn't give us the full story of that game, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. First thing I said to the players when we went inside, and just talking to the Whitehaven coach, is exactly the same. The scoreline looks like we were comfortable. With 12 minutes to go when we lost Shane Grady, we weren't comfortable at that point. He then scored a try three. And, yeah, so just a couple of bounces of the ball, little things like, you know, we kicked off and they didn't defuse it. We got a ball there, little things that change games. And we had so many chances and bombed them, and they probably a bit the same, but realistically we just didn't take our chances when we had them. We're over the sideline three times in the first 10 minutes, you know, things like that. Just, it's not how we started the season, so, but nevertheless, we're losing players. Craven gone now and for some time, and we've got a couple of key players out here and there. It's draining us a bit. So, and we're getting, Jay Chapelle's just returning to play after injury, so we're still a bit underdone in some of the forward play positions as well.
I was reminded a little bit in the early stages though, the Dewsbury game, and all the conditions were very different, but going sideways a lot and them coming sideways, and someone just needed to straighten the line up there,
exactly,
didn't they?
Right, or cut back under. Mm-hmm. Second half we did that a little better. It's a tough competition, this competition, and it doesn't matter, whoever comes to play is going to turn up and have a go. So, and if you're not on your game and you don't take your chances, then you're in a slugfest, and that's what we're in today. It was a real slugfest for us.
A couple of good individual moments helped things for you. I thought after the three sets on the line for Dion Cross, then to keep that ball in play and then make that break, I think took a lot out of Whitehaven.
It did. In fact, coaches were just saying the same thing. Little things like that had gone out, you know, might have changed the game a bit. Certainly gives them a chance to set their line against us, and they were doing that all right from set pieces. We don't mind playing from broken play. We're a little better, and the conditions weren't too bad, obviously, underfoot for us today, playing here at home. But, we're not kidding ourselves. We've got some work to do. But in saying that, we're ticking along. I mean, Featherstone only just squeaked through today, and, this is a division where, you know, based on who's fit, how much football you're playing, and we've still got cup games that we're in and the 8 and 95 yet to start. You know, it's a drain on any club, let alone a club like Whitehaven who are playing at a probably, I thought our salary cap was small. So we're four times more money than them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a big effort for a club to come all this way, let alone when they drove to London, not long back. Hell.
You chose to go with Lyons at fullback today and Jack in the halves. Yes. Just tell us the thinking behind that and how you think it went.
Yeah, I know that was a bit controversial, but I saw Jack's experience and size up front. Joey is to me a fullback, in my opinion. I think he's a good one. As he's only 22, he gets a bit more weight and he gets a bit more dominant with his calls. He missed. There was a short side there. He went round and they went the other way. And not long later, he did the same. Come back the short side. He set up to try. he knows what's going on. I like him in that. And Jack's a robust sort of 96 kilo. Half fullback, you know, could almost play 13. And in the line, that he's got that size and presence in the line as well. So he's got some power and he can kick a ball. And he was busy. The training sessions when I did it for Thursday and Saturday's training sessions were really good. It's not easy to replace someone like Danny, and we're going to have to replace Danny for probably 2 months or the best part of it. It's hard to say. I think it's 4 or 5 weeks before they take the basic splint thing out of his finger. They've got to open him up again and take some wires out and hope the ligament is reattached. And then his recovery is going to be a period of time. Fitness-wise, it'll be right, but just when he can grip and hold it and hold onto a ball. So we have to make a call on it. I knew I could always move him back. That's no problem. But I think it worked. It had a couple of rough patches, but I think it worked pretty well.
I thought Owen Farmer did a good job off the bench yesterday. Added a bit of punch.
Owen's got that real power effort game, you know. And the first interchange, when the three that I interchanged first half did a lot of work in that first 15, 20 minutes. They got a lot of ball. We were throwing ball away by losing ball on early tackle count and things like that. Even the ones, as I said, over the sideline. And so they were really burned up, but Owen came on and steadied the ship for us, as did Jay and McGrath. So not a bad trio to throw on at that point. And then when they were struggling halfway through the second half, then I redid it, Moran and them. So it's not a bad little interchange, but we've still got to do better. Their forwards really worked us hard. And Logan Tompkins worked his you know what off to...
Socks, Tim.
Yes,
Socks.
That's right. Mm-hmm. To stay out there for that, I think, 10 minutes or 9 minutes to go before I put young Wood on.
First of all, Matthew Smith, 40-point win against Whitehaven looked comfortable, but scoreline suggests, or the performance suggests, that it wasn't as comfortable as it looked.
No, it was obviously an ugly win for us. I felt, you know, first 10 minutes, we probably started the game reasonably well. I think, you know, Whitehaven come to spoil the party. They obviously come there and thought they was going for the result. So, I mean, it was always going to be tough, that first opening period. But I just thought we give away soft penalties, we give away soft field position, you know, 61% completion first half, which is, you know, nowhere near where we should be. But so we give them quite a lot. But having said that, I thought, you know, Whitehaven showed up as well and they were here to play. So, but yeah, we were disappointed with that first half display and, you know, fixed a few things at half time. And I thought second half we looked more, you know, rounded as a team. And but yeah, you know, there's lots of things to work on, obviously, this time of the season, and we need to be better.
Situations can change a game round, I suppose, when they let the kick out go over on the phone, and the scores seem to turn it in witness's favour.
Yeah, there was stuff like that. I mean, there was three times when we had the ball the first three times of the half, we got through in touch three times. I mean, that you just can't be doing stuff like that. You know, you need to find the floor if you're going out into touch, and we need to be a bit smarter than what we're being at the minute. And, you know, that comes with games, but it comes with, you know, boys playing more and more together. So I think you'll see, you know, a better performance next week. I think we'll fix a few things in the week and hopefully we can perform a lot better than what we did today.
Most Danny Craven ahead of today's game. How much of a blow was that in terms of the match?
Obviously, a blow. I mean, Danny's a fantastic player. He's been great for us this opening period of the season. You know, we're going to miss him now for a few weeks. And the boys that will come in his place will do a great job. You know, Joe Lyons at the back's fantastic. Jack Owens, our skipper, you know, turns up every week. Does a fantastic job. So, it's going to take a couple of games again to get that kind of consistency playing with each other. But I'm sure we'll get that in the next couple of weeks. And but, yeah, Danny's a massive loss. You know, great player. And I'm sure we'll get him back, you know, sooner rather than later.
After what happened that Tuesday last week, it was important to get back to winning ways today.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, 2 points is 2 points, isn't it? And although we're not happy with the, you know, 80-minute performance, I thought we looked good in, certainly looked good in parts. But I think that was a talk at the end. You know, we need to be better for the full game and need to be a bit more consistent than what we've been at the minute.
Win puts you in the top five, so you're not in a bad position.
No. I mean, you know, we're happy, I think, where we're at the minute. But we know that there's a lot of games to go and a lot of improvement in us as well. So, and the games the next few weeks are going to be tough. I mean, we've obviously got the cup next week, but we go away to Sheffield and then, you know, we play Toulouse at home, which is going to be a great test as well. But, you know, it doesn't get any easier for us, but I'm sure we'll keep working hard and you know, Tim keeps us working as hard in training and we'll improve.
5 games into the Championship season, it's looking like it's going to be another competitive season.
Yeah, there's some great teams, isn't there? And you know, you can't really call, I don't think, the top five this year. I think, you know, the way everyone started, there's been some surprises, you know, some blowout scores, but some tight games as well. So, it's going to be a tough season for everyone. I'm sure it'll be close coming into the year.
Have you found stepping down from Super League to the Championship?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's great. I mean, as you know, obviously we don't train as much, but you know, the contract I've signed here has allowed me to stay full time in terms of not having to get a job and being able to train on my own. So I thought that was important. If I was going to do that, I wanted to try and keep the kind of fitness level of maybe Super League. So it's you know, for me, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's a club that I've been at before. The lads are fantastic, and I think you can see that I've got a smile on my face. But for me, again, you know, it's about improving, and you know, I need to be better than what I was today. And I think as a team, we need to be better. So we'll keep working hard and hopefully keep improving and keep, you know, get to where we want to be.
Thanks, as always, to John and Adrian for those. Thanks again to sponsors Musical All Sorts, PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gore's Financial Management, and Deal the Jewellers. Don't forget to check out Witness TV if you want to hear any more of my rambling. I'm on commentary every week for the first team games this season, so please do check that out, and I'll see you next week.